Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the Spodcasters, a packed house this week after Ryan and Kevin barely kept the show afloat last week. I think we did weird stuff like, if you have a problem with what I'm saying right now, email me at kromery@sunflowerbroadband.com or
Tom Keegan original.
Or Ryan beautiful. Wood at. But enough of that. Kevin Romery, that is my name. With me today,
DJ Wetter. I'm back.
He works with me from Channel 6 across the room.
Ryan Wood.
Yes, he
Journal
is.
World.
You can find him at
rwood@ljworld.com.
So simple. And Tom Keegan, welcome back.
Tom Keegan, I'm back. And so is Carrie Meyer.
Yes, he is.
Back.
Anybody surprised at today's announcement?
No.
All right, then. Thanks for joining us for the Spodcasters. We'll see you guys next week following the Oklahoma State game.
Well, the thing was, he was cleared last Tuesday. He's still, what I'm guessing, he was still rusty even though he was healthy again. Obviously, you know, after what happened against A&M and how bad the offense was, you know, he wasn't going to be rusty anymore. They were going to get him out there one way or another, and that's what happened. There's your quarterback.
I just really announced tonight. Yeah, Ryan and I were out there, and it was nothing groundbreaking. Coach said, now he's ready in every facet of the game, whatever that means. I really think maybe it's a little bit of rust.
Means the option on third and one.
Well, yeah, and I it's funny. We brought that up, actually. I asked Derek Fine about that, and he said he is a grease lightning
faster than grease lightning.
Yeah, so they are faster. Very excited.
They asked
to
us to
back.
Run that.
And you can't worry about him getting hurt.
No.
I mean, he's your quarterback. A big part of what he does is run. So let him play his game and cross your fingers.
Yeah, that reminds
me. It's the Bill Whittemore effect.
Exactly.
It's the Bill Whittemore effect. It's exactly what KU – Coach Mangino tried to protect Bill to start that season, and KU came out and played that terrible game against Northwestern and lost. He didn't try to run. He sat in the pocket. And there's some guys that are just no good in the pocket. They're fantastic running – you know, doing all sorts of crazy stuff, but they're not comfortable taking a three-step drop and taking their time. I think Kerry Meyer might be one of those guys. Freelance it, let him go. If he gets hurt, Adam Barman's your starter.
And beyond freelance, let him go. Let him throw the ball down the field. Let's see Brian Murph returning punts, not Mr. Lamb. Brian Murph is going to fumble it, but he's going to get you some touchdowns. I want to see Brian Murph.
Maybe put another guy back there with him to pick up the muff punts.
You put Jonathan Lamb behind Brian Murph, and then when Brian muffs it, Lamb picks it up and covers it, and then you're good because he's the hands guy.
Or have Lamb catch it and run reverses to Murph.
That's not bad either.
They'd catch on. But I think Tom has a good point, though, because Oklahoma State has a great return game, a good offense. They're going to score some points. I think Kansas can win this game, but KU has got to make sure they get enough points on the scoreboard, or else this could be another loss.
This is no time for another conservative game plan. You got your starting quarterback back. Let it rip.
Let it rip. Tom Keegan at ljworld.com.
Yeah, absolutely.
T. Keegan.
I agree. And how many weeks in a row now have we seen them be conservative? And you'd like to blame it on the fact that Adam Barman was starting, but I don't know if they let it rip when Kerry Meyer was starting
didn't.
4 weeks ago.
They did not.
I
let
wouldn't
it rip.
Say they were conservative against Nebraska at all. I wouldn't say that.
Well, that's because they were playing from behind.
Nothing.
And right. I think, Romer, you made a good point on the drive, which you can vote for me, Tom Keegan, at thedriveshow.com. Believe me, I need the votes. But you made a great point in. It's almost like pretend you're behind and let Adam Barman go there, because when they're behind by a couple of touchdowns, they just let it rip.
They played good football.
KU was down 17-0, looked terrible, and played, I think in hindsight, a much better game against Nebraska than it did against A&M, and that game was on the road. I mean, there's no excuse for looking better on the road than at home in the same kind of game when you lose by a couple points.
You got to unloosen the belt and play not to lose, and I think that's been brought up some, and it feels like
play to win.
Well, yeah.
You should play not to lose. That's exactly what you don't need to do.
Don't
you need
play
to play
not to
win.
Lose. So double negative is what I was going at there. But exactly, play to win, and loosen the belt, and just let it go and play football and not be concerned with, okay, I got a three-point lead, got to protect it, got to be careful because that, you know, gets you tight.
Can you believe the nonsense, by the way, that they're saying over there on the K-State football message board? Because Tim Fitzgerald from GoPowerCat.com does the shows with us, and he gets 85% of the votes. They're saying that 85% of the football fans in the state of Kansas are Powercat fans. What a bunch of nonsense.
And 85% believe Kansas State will beat Nebraska this week, because that's what Fitz said on the show.
Yes.
And you're supposed to vote with who you agree with.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to have
not
on
the drive show.
We don't need to talk about that.
Good night.
But I do want to get into something that Fitz did bring up when he said that he thinks Oklahoma State's a better team than Texas A&M.
And who disagreed with
it? You disagreed, and I agree with Tom Keegan.
Yeah.
I mean, A&M had some loads out there. They had NFL players on both lines. They had a good quarterback. And maybe Oklahoma State has better return game. You know, maybe they can put up some numbers, some offensive numbers comparable. Overall, Texas A&M is a better football team. There's a reason Oklahoma State's lost 8 of the last 9 Big 12 games.
Javorski Lane, by the way, leads the nation in rushing touchdowns.
Javorski Lane's all you have to say, because if you get inside the 10, you're going to score a touchdown. And how big a deal is that, especially when we've seen what KU has done this year?
13 touchdowns for Javorski Lane.
When you said how big, I thought you were going to say how big a rear does he have. Well, that wouldn't have been appropriate.
I was staring at
13 touchdowns.
Pretty big.
And 12 of them are 6 yards and under.
Yeah, he leads the nation in pounds per touchdown, too.
Yeah.
There's no doubt
about that. Pound for pound, the best running back in the nation.
Obviously, and this is another issue, obviously when he got down to the 2-yard line there with about a minute left, who's going to get the ball? Javorski Lane. Who's going to get into the end zone? Javorski Lane.
So you call a timeout.
Why was that timeout in the back pocket the whole time?
Well, it should have been called. Absolutely should have been called, because when you're on defense, you can't control the clock yourself. When you're on offense, you can, as we saw Adam Barman doing it by spiking it once and throwing it out of bounds another time. You can stop the clock on offense. You can't on defense unless you call timeout.
And when you get inside the 10-yard line, the clock is no longer a factor as long as there's about a minute left, because you're not going to get any more first downs. You've got four plays. So even if the clock stops after every play in your Kansas, who cares how much time's left? If you get the ball back at the one, you take a knee and 30 seconds runs out, even if there's an extra 30 seconds. There's no excuse down there to not call a timeout.
Coach Mangino has a rollover plan, so we actually start the game with 5 timeouts. That's how it works.
So, I mean, I think you keep one in your back pocket for a field goal, obviously. You don't burn both of them when Texas A&M has a ball. I think you get rid of one of them. In hindsight, obviously hindsight's always 20/20. They would have had about twice as much time to make a drive at the end there.
And remember, they weren't on the 10-yard line or anything. It was inside the 5 two, with Javorski Lane.
The best short gain rusher.
And a massive offensive line.
And a massive offensive line. Only more massive is the running back carrying the ball.
But with inside the 10, with a minute to go, you're not going to run out of time anyway if you're Texas A&M.
Time's not a factor for
A&M. A&M's not going to run out of time with a minute and four plays. If they're at the 9, they're going to throw the football. They're not going to run it. If they're at the 2, you can easily get 3 running plays off.
Totally agree. But, you know.
Water under the bridge. Bridge over the water is what I meant to say. It's bridge over the water.
We're all mixing up everything today. But, there's just a lot of what ifs from that game. Obviously, the offense was. What are you guys laughing about?
It's a bridge over the water, K. Romery at sunflybroadband.com.
That's what I said.
Yeah, but, you know, how does a team recover from 2 of these and 3 in the last 4?
Oklahoma
how do they do it?
State, that's how you recover. You bring Oklahoma State.
This isn't a terrible team, DJ.
No, but this is a game you got to win, and I think this is a game KU will win. I'm predicting KU to win. I'm in first place in our little predictions in the journal world and on the drive show.
By the way, bring that up here for some self-serving bragging here. I went 0-6 last
year. Yeah, you know, you should have tried to go 0-6, and you would have gone 6-0. 0-6, that has to be a first in prediction history.
Well, I tied a world record.
I do appreciate that parlay advice. Thanks.
I tied a world record. It can't get any worse than that, so I'm pretty proud, actually. And
you're due.
Every game wrong. I actually thought I picked Baylor right, so I thought I went 1-5 after Saturday, and I went and checked the paper, and holy cow, I went 0-6. I picked Colorado to win the
triple
game after
overtime,
all.
Maybe.
Who would have thought, you
good
know?
Times.
There goes my credibility, but that's okay. That's
no,
okay.
It just means you're due. Like in baseball, a hitter is either due, consistent, or hot.
Going
so
0-6
anyway you look at
or
it,
in 1 week
hit,
of
or
football
a minor
predictions.
Or a minor leaguer.
It's like a baseball player going on an 0-for-75 slump. It's about that equivalent.
Well,
that's
let me
so
say
bad.
This, Ryan. You're taking KU, right? Not Oklahoma State.
I'm taking Kansas by 1 point.
Wow. The rest of the town, as I've been walking around talking to people, they think this is going to be a blowout. They're convinced
no,
that
KU. I agree,
but I'm saying the consensus from the Rock Chalk Nation is, well, we're going to get healthy this weekend. And I don't think that's the case.
They're not healthy.
Well, that's
they're
true,
not
too.
Healthy. We asked about that today about the offensive players. He goes, yeah, we're in better health than last week. For the most part, we're feeling good. I was like, is there anyone going to be held out? He says, I don't want to get into personnel.
Well, I was going to say, that's my question. He changed.
That means someone's going to be out this game, probably.
He changed the way he was going to do this week. After the game Saturday, Coach Mangino had no policy. It was, we'll just wait and see if they can go next week. But you wrote the story, Ryan, on Sunday. He was changing his policy that if you didn't practice, you didn't play. obviously wasn't going to come out and tell you who didn't practice tonight so that they couldn't play on Saturday. But that'll be interesting to see. And we joked last week, John Cornish wouldn't have played
last week. He was held out of practice until Thursday before the A&M game.
Every rule has an exception, and John Cornish is an exceptional back.
It's the Michael Jordan rule.
If there's one exception on this team, it's John Cornish because, you know, he went out there, had a bum leg. Obviously wasn't 100%, but still had 128 yards on 23 carries.
And even if John Cornish doesn't play. Yeah, if John Cornish doesn't play and you don't have a fake punt,
he's a machine.
KU doesn't score.
He's a machine, and they absolutely need him out there.
2 points on the safety.
Every single quarter.
True. And Jake Sharp is not playing. I think there's more to the story than just that John Cornish is a well-conditioned athlete, which is what Mangino said is the explanation for it. But when you're hurt like that, you'd think he'd want to take a series off here or there.
A little pressure off.
I think a part of what this deal is Jake Sharp, very small back, and there the way they throw on any down, you've got to have a back in there who's good at pass protection, and Jake Sharp probably is not good yet at pass protection.
And I think Brandon McAnderson had more single back sets, I think, last week than I can ever remember seeing. And he did carry the ball, I think,
because
4 or 5 times.
Blocker.
Because he's a good blocker. That's the exact reason he was in there.
Nothing that Jake Sharp can't be good at someday. You know, he's 190
true
pounds.
True freshman.
A little guy, but little guys can still, you know, undercut someone's knees and get him out of the play. So, obviously, though, he's a true freshman. He's got to have ways to go. He wasn't going to come in here and be the Salina Central Jake Sharp right away, obviously, and a lot of people are saying, why didn't he redshirt? Why didn't he redshirt? He couldn't. He couldn't redshirt because they need a backup running back.
And so he's Quigley's
out for the year. Quigley's out for the year, although we saw him at the end of practice. He's out on the practice field today, limping noticeably. But
huge brace on the leg.
Looks like he's going to be back, not this season, obviously, but, you know, in time for spring ball, hopefully.
That would be good news.
Tom Keegan has to go to volleyball.
I'm off to volleyball. K-State, KU.
We're going
to
see you there in a minute. Can't you wait 5 minutes?
I got to get there. I'm afraid I'll get lost.
Unbelievable.
Well, let me get your prediction first, Tom. Score prediction. What do you got?
I forgot what I put for Saturday's picks in the paper. I think it's 31-28, maybe.
Just read
something
the journal
like
world then.
Close.
Yeah, close victory for KU.
I like
Does KU win it at the end? Or is KU almost blow a big lead? Is it 31-14 or is it 28-24?
I like that scenario.
28-24.
31-14. And then they have winning 31-28.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
It's a battle of two teams who like to give up late leads, though. It really will be interesting. Which team will give up? You know, someone's going to give up a late lead in this game.
Somebody's going to give up.
Oklahoma State played against K-State and the way KU's played
and
this
the
year.
Freshmen,
someone's giving up.
The two freshmen won that for Kansas State against the Cowboys. Pretty devastating loss for him. I don't know which one was more devastating, the one in Lawrence or the one in Manhattan. But you know, it's got to be two hungry teams going into this game.
At home, homecoming. You need a win after you lost an OT to Nebraska. KU's was more devastating,
and KU's 0-2 as opposed to Oklahoma State just 0-1 in Big 12 conference play.
Yeah, but Oklahoma State won one Big 12 game last year. They're desperately. I heard on the radio today that Mike Gundy had a vote of confidence handed down from the AD
already,
which is never good.
He's only coached what, like 14 games?
Yeah, about
16
games, and has about he actually has 7 wins. They're all non-conference.
Do you ever pass down a vote of confidence when like your team's 14-0, like in Notre Dame?
No,
the AD passed.
I remember Al Bull gave Terry Allen a vote of confidence about 2 weeks before he came to him.
Awesome. Before he stabbed him in the back.
Mid-season. Well,
that was right before that driveway press conference, as I recall.
Right.
Tom Keegan just gave Ryan Wood a vote of confidence, fellas.
Oh, boy. Exactly. Oh, boy. After that 0-6 week, I probably got a big vote of confidence for my knowledge.
Not allowed to pick anymore.
That's right. Well, one thing we noticed yesterday at the press conference was brought up is that Kansas has lost the last 4 to the Cowboys. And the last time they won was Glenn Mason's 10-2 year back in 1995.
You're kidding.
So how about that?
That's information I did not know.
Yeah, I mean.
So Kansas has not beaten Oklahoma State since the formation of the Big 12.
Right.
And they've only played a handful of times because of the way the split works. But still, it's not like Oklahoma State has been Texas in that time period.
Now, yeah, the last time they played was 0-2 and 0-3. 0-2, they're not going to win. In 0-3, they were very good. They had Morency in the backfield. And Adam Barman was playing quarterback as a true freshman for that game down
was
in Stillwater.
Was Rashawn Woods on that team,
yeah,
too?
Was yeah,
that
Woods. Rashawn
think,
Woods was
how
on
could
that
you forget
team.
The 800 yards receiving he had?
Absolutely. So, obviously, those are some good Oklahoma State teams the last 4 times they played. And, you know, it's in the same Oklahoma State. I think they're getting better. I think they're a better team than last year. But at Lawrence, I think this is a game Kansas can and should win, even though I think it'll be close.
And better win, because as I mentioned on the drive show, I hate to keep bringing that up, guys, but mention what's Friday night?
We got
to
get a show, Ryan, so we can be like, I mentioned on.
Yeah.
But what's Friday night, guys?
High school football.
And?
Late night.
Little thing called late night. So if you lose a game and dropped 0-3 on Saturday, what does everybody start talking about?
Basketball.
And speaking of basketball, how about the news today?
Yes. Well, let's get to that in a minute. I want to talk one more football thing first. Today, Shawnee Mission West linebacker Blake Lawrence, who is choosing between Nebraska and Kansas, picked Nebraska.
And he shunned his brother,
He was probably the best player in the state of Kansas as a football player.
Is anybody real surprised?
No.
Are you surprised? I think
because I thought, you know, obviously he said all along that him and his brother are very close. He thought that might have a factor. I mean, look at the Murphy boys. They wanted to play together. It just depends. It just depends by family. Obviously, recruiting so inexact, but this was one that Kansas could have really used because he's a stud, and, you know, we've seen him in the Sunflower League last two or three years, and he's a star in the making, no doubt about it.
Lawrence knows him well. Lawrence Haya. Saw what Blake Lawrence has to offer. But I think this is different than the Murphy situation. They're twins. They're not doing anything separate. Younger brother syndrome, wanting to go out and do your own thing. I don't think it's that surprising.
Yeah, Kerry Meyer did it
from that.
If you want to look at it.
Exactly. I think that makes a big difference. And Lawrence is having a heck of a year, and I think he thinks he can do something in Nebraska. And unfortunately, Nebraska looks like they're headed up.
And I mean, Nebraska right now, you know, nationally has been ranked, and the perception of that program, and historically speaking, it's been much better. If you got an offer from both schools, I mean, if it was you, it'd be hard not to go to Nebraska.
Their facilities are wonderful up there. Obviously, they're on the right track. They won the Alamo Bowl.
Fans are great.
The fans are phenomenal. And he was up there for the KU-Nebraska game, and the fans were phenomenal at that game. So, no, I don't blame him at all. I just wanted to bring it up and you know, get some thoughts on that because, you know, this is a rich year in Kansas for recruiting.
Blake Lawrence was at the KU game, Texas A&M. Does that make a difference? Do you think he saw that game and said,
I think
I'll
he was leaning toward Nebraska even before that. I think he was Nebraska leaning.
Maybe he
along.
Decided the winner of the KU-Nebraska game is where he was going to go.
That might be it.
That overtime loss cost Kansas a linebacker.
But it was a rich year in football recruiting. Pretty much every big-time Kansas player has committed. Obviously, Ryan Murphy's the big in-state kid that KU got. Christian Ballard is going to Iowa. Guy from Aquinas is going to Iowa. Blake Lawrence is going to Nebraska. So, you know, they're getting picked up from all over the Midwest now and out of Kansas. It's a big year and almost, I don't know, maybe a little disappointing that they couldn't land these bigger stars
Green.
In the state. It's just, you know, but recruiting's so inexact. You know, I don't know if you can blame anyone for it.
You never know what you're going to get. I mean, you get these guys that have great accolades coming in. They don't turn out. And then you land Charles Gordon, and a year later, he's one of the greatest players that's ever played for the program.
Akeem Tlaib, same kind of deal.
You know, it's crazy.
You never know what's going to come.
Who wanted John Cornish 5 years ago?
No one.
You know,
I mean,
that seemed to work out okay for KU.
A good recruiting story, though. A basketball recruit doesn't visit Kansas, commits to Kansas anyway, by the name of Julian
and
Wright.
What accolade did he get today?
He and Brandon Rush were both named
co-preseason
Big 12 Player of the Year, which means nothing.
Which means that coaches think
that they are pretty darn good players, which we already knew.
But how rare. It's the first time in the history of the Big 12 that two players have shared the preseason honor, which obviously means it's the first time two teammates have ever shared the honor. And how rare is that to have two guys share the spotlight like that and get the recognition from around the conference?
Well, I thought one of them would get it for sure. I mean, obviously having both of them get it was something else. I mean, this just shows how good Kansas can be, really.
Well, you guys each have one vote. Who are you voting for?
I'd probably...
You can't split your vote. You have
Based
to make
on
one.
Last year, I'd probably vote Brandon Rush. You know.
And you,
Julian's,
DJ?
Julian's going to be good, but you just don't know what exactly he's going to be right now, based on where he jumps around on the court.
That's funny, Ryan. I'd go the other direction. I'd say Julian Wright
Well, you're usually wrong.
Yeah. That's where the split happened right there, though. And here's what you're looking at, what he was able to do at the end of the season and what Brandon, I felt like, plateaued. Maybe that's going to be different this year. But Julian, man, the potential is there. And he showed me something in the last season. I think it's going to be a special year. Especially, they got four other big guys now. He's going to play more of a perimeter role. I think that's going to help him a ton. You're going to see him.
Oh, he's going to be a star.
Stuff.
Yeah. He's going to be a star. Yeah. I think Rush is going to be a star. You know, 40 games on the schedule. How many does KU win? Just throw something out there.
36.
I'll be Tom Keegan, all of them. And then I'll, here's my prediction.
That's why I wait till he left before I ask.
35.
I'll say 34, 33.
Yeah, they're not going to lose many. They're going to lose a couple of road games here and there. You maybe a 50-50 deal against Florida.
But they're better. They're better than probably every Big 12
sure,
team out there.
Absolutely. So well, they're never,
they should win
unless
14
it's
of those
Florida
games.
Or Carolina or one of the Big 5 or 6. KU is going to be the better team every time it takes the floor.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I thought it was interesting looking at the Big 12 coaches stuff that came out. Two Texas A&M guys on there as well, AC Law and Joseph Jones, which means that we might have two dominant teams according to the coaches.
Sure.
It's going to be A&M, and then it's going to be KU.
Where's that
and
game,
I don't
though?
Know. That's here.
That's good news for KU. KU.
They're going to be 9-0 against South teams at home, something ridiculous like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they
Big
have
started.
Lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember
so
writing
chalk
that
it up.
Story.
Yep, chalk it up. But will be interesting because I want to see what Oklahoma State's like this year. Who knows with Kansas State and what, six new coaches in the conference?
Six new coaches.
That's ridiculous.
So, man, it'll be interesting.
South
Oklahoma won't be a factor.
Tenure, no. Yeah, I wouldn't think they would be. It's going to be a really – I'm really most interested in Kansas State more than maybe any other team out there.
They could go from 12
who knows?
To 1. They could be anywhere from the very top to the very bottom.
They got fan support back. You know, they
it's
going
to be a tough place to play.
They got a good coach, obviously. And I'm excited to see how they do. I mean, really am. And
Huggins says
I don't
even
know how, what to predict. Yeah.
Huggins says
I don't think that's
tournament.
Out of the question at all. At all. So, going to be an interesting year in Big 12
I did
hoops.
See one of the newcomers last night say, I think on Channel 49 Sportscast, that making the tournament was not the goal. The Sweet 16 would be a disappointment, and it's Final Four bust.
This is a Wildcat?
This is a Wildcat. Obviously a newcomer. We will see how that turns out. Maybe halfway through the season we'll be saying the same thing, but I think
Final
this
four?
Makes Tom Keegan has we'll have to give him props even though he's not here. He's been saying this is great for the rivalry since day one, and it sure looks like things are going to be a lot more fun in the state of Kansas.
Of course, what I would
season.
Like to look up is 1 year ago today if any George Mason freshman came up and said, you know, Final Four bust. And got
somebody
laughed
probably
at too.
Said it.
And there they were.
And there they were. Final Four. I mean.
So are you comparing K-State to George Mason?
I'm saying that once you get to the tournament, you get hot, get a little bounce here and there, get some luck.
Say it, Ryan.
Anyone could go to the Final Four.
K-State
in the top,
will go to the Final Four.
In the top
R Wood
12
at
LJWorld.com.
K-State, KU, Wichita State, and
Washburn?
Colorado.
Richard Roby in the bus.
He'll save his job. He'll go 16-15, win the Big 12 tournament, and go to the Final Four and be around another 4 years.
So we got a busy weekend ahead of us, though. You know, if you look at late night on Friday night, KU basketball media day, two of them are this week.
Women
Thursday
and men
and
the next 2 days.
And then
high school football Friday
high
night.
High school football. You got KU football on Saturday.
Nick and Kirk.
You got Nick and Kirk.
Has this
maybe
thing sold
Kareem.
Out yet?
It's getting close,
is
I think.
It, are people as
close.
Excited as they hoped they would be? I was a little not impressed
well,
with the ticket sales.
I didn't expect a 16,300 crowd. You know, I mean, it's just
expensive.
It's still NBA
40
exhibition
bucks
basketball.
To see an exhibition
and
game?
And it's seeing two guys who probably aren't going to play at more than a half, I wouldn't think, you know. So, obviously, it's going to be good to see those guys back. They were part of the last two great teams here at Kansas, I think. So,
absolutely.
It'll
the leaders
of
the last two great teams here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Ben Wallace, guys. I know you.
Ben Wallace, that. Yeah. I mean, who else? Kareem Rush is on the Sonics, isn't he? He may or may not play. So there's going to be some good players there. And, you know, they're going to have a good crowd, it looks like. Not a great crowd, but good enough. So busy weekend.
Should be interesting. And
should be very fun.
I think you said it best, Kevin. If KU football loses on Saturday, guess what?
I mean this in a good way.
Basketball season.
Yeah. I'm just warning. I mean, now is the time. I mean, carpe diem, football team. You better seize the day because if you do not, you will be forgotten
you know
very
what?
Quickly in this town. And it's something the KU football program has battled for 100 years. And it finally, you know, God, you win that Nebraska game and then come back and beat A&M and you've got everybody's attention. Instead,
I'm not
sure, you let
though,
them both slip away.
Because last year, they started out 0-4 in conference play and they had everybody's attention by the end of
the
year.
Yeah, but
the
KU basketball
team
didn't start out very good either.
Well, that's true, too. So maybe it's going to be
this year. It's going to be all the hype. Top
the last
five
regular season games of football is the same day that Kansas plays Florida in basketball.
You can't lose two in a row.
Will that be the passing of the
KU
torch?
Football.
Let's hope that's the passing of the torch, and it's not this weekend.
Right. So we'll see. But I'm going to pick Kansas by 1 point. I think in the newspaper I put 35-34 because I think there's going to be some points scored, especially with Kerry Meyer back as the starting quarterback.
I took KU 35-21, I think. I know you guys think it'll be close, and it probably will be at the end, but KU, show me something. I believe in you this week. It's time to show me something. I think they're going
to
do
it's
it.
It's time to show DJ Wetter something.
Show me something.
I picked Kansas as well. I don't remember what I put in the paper. It was similar to yours.
You
it was 31,
61 to 7.
31 to 24, 104 to 6. One of the two. I can't remember. Something very close. But I think Kansas wins again. We were all wrong last week, but hopefully, gentlemen, we'll be right when we do this again next week. Sounds good. Anybody else?
Nothing else.
For Ryan Wood, it's rwood at ljworld.com. For DJ Wetter at dwetter at sunflowerbroadband.com. And Kevin Romery at kromery at sunflowerbroadband.com. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hopefully, we'll be talking about a Kansas win next Wednesday. See you later.